change that, you can win that.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
As we make every effort to expedite this sharing, St. John chapter 20, I pray the Lord has prepared us for something that you need to hear concerning your life. It would be irresponsible to let you leave here off emotion. It would be irresponsible. Your soul is too precious to go off of feelings. But you need some substance to your shout. And so I ask that you bear with us a few moments that the Lord may speak to your heart, speak to your situation. And if this word is not for you, just bear with us and pray for those of us that it is for, that we might get to where you are. St. John chapter 20, and I want to read just two verses from this pericope. I ask that you, in your leisure time, read the whole chapter. It'll bless your heart. But for the benefit of time and brevity, I want to just share two verses with you, verse 24 and 25. The scripture reads, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Can I read verse 25 again? "And the other disciples therefore said unto him," and that's in the present perfect tense, "they continued to tell him, kept on telling him, Thomas, we saw the Lord. But he said," somebody say, "but he said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." May be seated. "The grass withers and the flowers fade thereof. The word of our God shall last and stand forever." I want to talk to you. My assignment is to talk to you for a few moments today about the Thomas theology. I want to talk to a few moments about the Thomas theology. We know Thomas. We've heard of Thomas, and there's a stigma placed on Thomas, this great disciple, this great apostle. A stigma is placed on Thomas, so much so that we give him a nickname. We call him Doubting Thomas. It's somewhat unfair to him because he's in chapter 21. And tradition and history teaches us that even Thomas took the gospel to India after chapter 20 of this text, after he received the Holy Ghost and after he witnessed the Holy Spirit in Acts, he goes to India with the gospel, dies a martyr's death, died a faithful ambassador for the kingdom, equipped and embraced all that God had for him. But all we connect him with is being a doubter. Isn't it difficult when you're only known by what's wrong with you? Isn't it difficult when people only identify you by your shortcomings? One mistake he makes, and that's all people know. Now, what's interesting to me is that nobody called Peter denying Peter. You don't hear anybody talk about betraying Judas. But what is it about this Doubting Thomas that we give him this stigma and this nickname? Thomas is introduced to us in the book of John when he's called by Jesus to be one of his disciples. It's Thomas in chapter 11 when Jesus is preparing to go back and raise Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus says, now it's time to fulfill it, but they were under pressure by the Jews. Then Thomas says, well, I guess we're going to go back and die with Jesus. It's the same Thomas in chapter 14 when Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you will be also. It's Thomas who asks Jesus, where are we going? How are we supposed to know where we're going if you're gone? Thomas is an inquisitive believer. He asks questions. He has questions. He's intuitive. It's not that he doesn't have faith. He just needs to know what's going on. Thomas is his Jewish Aramaic name, means twin. Didymus is his Greek name, means twin. We don't know who Thomas's twin is. But if you allow me a little sermonic license this morning, I want to argue that some of us are that twin. Because you and I sometimes have some questions for God. Because we've been told, Big Mama told us, don't you ask God no questions. Because when you ask God questions, that show you don't believe in him. But that's not biblical. That's not spiritual. Because you have a right to ask God. It's wrong to not believe God. But it's never wrong to ask God, Lord, I need you to let me know what's going on. Can you make this plain to me? Some of us this morning have been treated unfairly in our lives. We're being treated unfairly, even the church, because we have a little of a Thomas theology. And for a few moments, I want to talk to us and maybe encourage us that if you just stick with it, you can go from doubt to a shout. You can go from doubting to believing, but the key to it is you got to stay with the Lord. It's not about where Thomas starts. It's about where he ends up. I tried to tell you something in the introduction, but I thought you'd get happy, so I'm gonna get happy for myself. I said that God allowed Thomas, even though he was a doubter, he allowed him to still go and spread the gospel, to be an ambassador for the kingdom, and souls were found and won because of Thomas's testimony. Aren't you glad that God doesn't leave you in the shape you were in? Aren't you glad that God gives you another chance even when you sometimes fail, even when you sometimes don't get it right, even when sometimes your I's aren't dotted, your T's aren't crossed? I wish I was in a church this morning who can thank God for not a second chance, but I thank God for another chance. Because sometimes your theology, friends, your theology, beloved, is how you see God. Your theology is how you personally believe, what you personally believe about God. And the truth of it is, people won't tell you the truth in church, but the truth of it is, all of our theology is different because all of our experiences are different. And we're getting frustrated with people who won't praise. We get frustrated with people who look mean, but maybe they just got a little of that twin in them. Maybe they got that twin syndrome. They acting just like Thomas. Here it is. Jesus has got up. Jesus got up. I'm going to try again. Jesus got up with all power in his hands. And Jesus shows up in chapter 20 on Resurrection Sunday, on Resurrection Day. He shows up behind locked doors to show himself to his disciples. They were running, they were fleeing, they were hiding out in some undisclosed location. And Jesus showed up behind locked doors. He did some natural, but he did it in a supernatural way. Because how can you come in something that's locked up and still look like what you've been through? Jesus did it, y'all. Jesus showed them, he says, peace be unto you. And he showed them his hand. I wish I had about three or four people who love those moments when the Lord shows his hand. When the Lord shows up in locked up situations. When you thought it was all over. When you thought it was the bottom of the night. And the Lord mess around and show his hand. Is there anybody else in this house who can thank God for when everybody else said no, the Lord said yes. They said it was over with and God said, you don't run my business. God showed up. You serve a God who can show up behind locked up doors. Glory to God. He shows up and shows his hands, and he speaks peace unto them. And man, them disciples were excited. Those who had witnessed it, they were excited. They ended up having a church service.
because the Lord showed up and he spoke to them and he gave them power and he gave them his presence and he gave them peace. They weren't afraid no more. They weren't scared anymore because the Lord showing up lets them know that everything he promised is going to come to pass. I wish I had somebody. Don't see, we just 2 weeks past Easter and some of us done lost our hope already. We done lost our joy already. You can't keep waiting to a calendar to realize that he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. How can I? Because he walks with me. He talks with me. A long life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation too important. You ask me how I know he lives. I can tell you how I know. Because he lives within my heart. He lifts me up when I'm down. He comes to me when I'm alone. He rocks me when I'm weary. He renews me when I'm broke down. He provides when I have nothing. He just keeps making a way every time. Every time I turn around, he keeps on making a way for me. And I'm glad that I was in a place when the Lord showed up. I wish I had somebody who could help me this morning. Don't play with me now. I need a witness now. I need somebody who don't mind letting folk know that God has been good to me. He showed up. Woo! He showed up behind locked doors. Here's my shout. He showed up sometime and I wasn't looking for him. He showed up and I wasn't even in my best shape. I told you the disciples were afraid and he still showed up. They didn't walk in faith and he still showed up. They had denied him, but he still showed up. Yeah. Let me hurry. My soul just about got happy, so I better hurry and get through with this presentation. Because my soul almost done got there. When I think about the locked doors, when people put you out, but he still come in. You ain't got the education, but he still come in. You in a small town, but he still come in. You ain't got nothing, but he still come in. Sick as a dog, and he'll still show up. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing up when I wasn't looking for you. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the water he lifted me. Now I find myself safe. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Here it is. Here it is. I got to quit. I got to move. They had church. They had church. We don't know where they were, but we know they were together, and Jesus was with them, and they had church. The doors were locked, so what couldn't get in, couldn't get in. And was out, couldn't get in. And was in, couldn't get out. Here's a word for somebody. Let them put you out. That's what the Lord wants you. So he can do something in you and do something for you that they can't do. Because you serve a God who knows how to come through locked doors. He don't need open doors to bless your situation. He specializes in showing up in locked up situations. I wish I had somebody help me. Y'all better stop. Y'all better stop because I almost feel like preaching. Y'all better stop. Here it is. Yes, Lord. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Hold on. Hold on. With everything in you, I'm going to ask you to sit down. Because this thing about to take a quick turn. And I'd rather you go and sit down before I say it than you sit down after I say it. because I know y'all. And guess what? Y'all know me. The Lord showed up to the disciples, help me, Lord, who were there. We're in a hopeless situation, but we're still showing up. We haven't got word yet that he got up, but we still were faithful to what he told us, and we assembled ourselves. We're locked up, but we showed up to be locked up. So then that means that if you got some who are in, verse 24 tells you, but Thomas. But is a conjunction that's transitional. It means that what happened before is the opposite of what's getting ready to happen. You got a group of people who assembled, and the Lord showed up, and they're happy. But you had a disciple who missed church. I ain't making this up, y'all. Look in your Bible, verse 24. But Thomas was not with them. I said, see, I told y'all, sit down. But Thomas was not with them when the Lord showed up. So, but they love Thomas so much and they think that he's a disciple. Thomas, we saw the Lord. Hey, Tom, man, you missed it last Sunday. The Lord showed up. Tommy boy, you missed it, man. We still met. And on this particular day, he got up and showed up just like he said he would. But Thomas was not with them when the Lord showed up. Can I unpack it real quick? So we have to look at now, we start seeing the Thomas theology. Here it is. Part of the Thomas theology, we got to deal with ourselves. Take a break. Give yourself a break today. Because God tells you today, I understand why you are the way you are. But I love you too much to let you stay like that. God says to you today, you Thomases out there, I get it. I get why you are the way you are. I get why you doubt me. He says, I'm okay with you doubting me. My problem is when you don't believe me. Doubt, my friends, is when you are looking for reasons to believe. Unbelief is when you're looking for reasons not to believe. He's okay with those of us who are in doubt, but he got a problem with those of us who don't believe. I hope I free the house today. Because when you're doubting, at least you can say, I'm just looking for a reason to believe. I still love him. I know he loved me. But stuff ain't going right. And I need something to happen so I can strengthen my faith. But an unbeliever won't let nothing happen because they're looking for reasons not to believe. Am I helping yet? So part of the Thomas theology is understanding why we are the way we are. See, we just keep getting mad at folk about the fruit and don't deal with the root. And God has come today to help us do some surgery in our own hearts. Now, this ain't for us to be pointing fingers. This is for those of us, because all of us got some Thomas in us. I was trying not to say it, but I'm going to say it. All of us got some Thomas in us. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'd rather be known as Thomas than Judas. I'll leave that alone. Here it is. The Thomas theology, number one, is shaped by personal trauma. It's shaped, it's formed by personal trauma. Distress, issues, heartbreak, disappointment is why you're acting how you're acting. So much so that you will get, now if you're not careful, you'll start thinking it's not even important to show up. Y'all gonna let me help us? It's a personal trauma. It's something that happened to you. Some stuff we know, some stuff we don't know, but something happened to you that made you think it's no longer priority to show up when the Lord tell you to show up. Thomas, here's the problem I have, well, one of the issues in the text, is that Thomas wasn't with them. Your question is, where was he? Okay, I thought I'm the only nosy person in the house. I know I ain't, because I know most of y'all 90-year-olds. I know y'all pretty nosy. Y'all call it inquisitive, and y'all call it just, you know, you're nosy. And you asking this text, well, where was he? Why he wasn't where the rest of the disciples were? He say he a child of God. He say he belonged to God. Why he ain't with the rest of the folk? Why he keep getting himself detached from God's people? Because the door is locked. That means you weren't there when they locked it. What happened to you, Thomas, that caused you to think it's not important to be where you were supposed to be? Because if you heard him correctly, Jesus told you, in 3 days I'm coming back. Why are you somewhere where nobody knows where you are? I need somebody to be holy and human now and tell me that you've had seasons in your life where you've been somewhere you weren't supposed to be because you were not where you were supposed to be. Yeah, you did. And it's personal trauma. Here it is now. Thomas has been with Jesus for 3 years. He's watched him heal the sick. He's listened to his lessons and sermons and parables. He's watched him feed a multitude. He's watched him open up blind eyes and open up ears. And what do you do when after all this time and all you've seen, it's determined you still don't get it? Now all that you believed in is gone. Thomas has lost his hope. He's lost his reason because the one he dedicated his life to died. And it was a gruesome death. And all hope, it appears, is gone. Because if he's that powerful, why would he stay in a grave? Why would he let them kill him like that? Why would he let them do him like that? I thought we were the powerful church. I'm sorry. I thought we were the powerful disciples. And some stuff just shouldn't happen to the people who connected to Jesus. And now Jesus done messed around and let them crucify him. What are we supposed to do? Because if they'll do him like that, what you think they'll do to us? It's not popular to be a Christian. It's not popular to be a saint. It's not popular to say you love the Lord. If it'll get Jesus in trouble, what make you think it won't get you and I in trouble? And it's at this point, if I can bring it to where we are today, that we determine that Thomas ain't about that life. Because we don't know where he is. At least the rest of the brothers was in, they was running, they were scared, but they ran together. You could locate them. Thomas, how you done got yourself? Look at what this personal trauma done got you. It's gotten you out of fellowship. Some of your personal problems, some of your heartbreaks, some of your issues you've had has made you stop believing that God, maybe he just ain't paid you no attention. Maybe he doesn't love you like he said. Maybe it's not going to go because you got sick. Your loved one died. That's trauma. You lost your job. That's trauma. You're going through stuff. That's trauma. You caught COVID. That's trauma. And you supposed to keep showing up for torture? You supposed to keep showing up and don't know how it's going to go? God says, I get it. I see why you're kind of conditional with me. I see why you kind of show up when you feel like it, and then when you don't, you don't. I can see why you believe me when it's going well. I can see why you love me on the mountaintop, but when you're in the valley, you run from it. He says, I get it. Thomas did me like that too. Thomas did it. Because of personal trauma, I won't show up anymore. I won't be as faithful without you as I am with you. Here's the problem. Jesus kept telling them, I won't be with you always. I'm getting ready to leave. But Thomas wasn't paying attention to that. He was paying attention to the ministry expanding. He's paying attention to mountaintop moments. He's paying attention to feeding the multitude. Not even thinking about the fact that Jesus wanted to give him that same power. Some of us are with the ministry when the ministry can do for us. But if the ministry ain't doing nothing for us, we ain't going to stay with the ministry. Hebrews tell us, forsake not the assembling of ourselves. Huh? And now because of the personal trauma, because of what you, what God didn't seem fair, I'm just not going to give God all of me anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm all right with God. I ain't tripping with God. I still kind of believe in God. But I'm not going to put myself out there anymore. Somebody's in that place. I don't know who I'm talking to. But somebody's in that place. I know God loved me, and I just read my Bible and stuff on my app. I'll just kind of sing songs to myself. I'll go to Kirk Franklin XM Radio and have my own church service. I'll just do all that. But I don't know God. Because the last time I prayed, last time I fasted, last time I did all that, it didn't go my way. And I'm still dealing with the trauma of stuff not going my way. And I just don't know if I can commit myself to something that may not go my way. He says, I get it. And your faith in God is shaped by what happened to you, not what he did for you. See, the Christian's faith is based upon Jesus dying. It's based on the gospel. The fact that Jesus died for our sin-sick soul to turn our black heart to make us white in snow. That's the message. But for some of us, that's not enough. We're leaving now as I move further. We get out of trouble here. It's shaped. It's formed. That's why we can be so part-time with God. We treat him like he's an inmate. We just do weekend visitations. We'll give him a little weekend visit when I got time. But I'm not going to commit because it ain't really going. I remember last time I put myself out there. So, no, when I come, I ain't going to do all that shouting and look crazy. I ain't going to do all that praising God and be looking crazy, make a fool out of myself, and then tomorrow, then something else happened. I don't know how they can do that. I don't see how they can play themselves like that, running around the church dancing like that. That ain't me. I know her story. What's she running for? I know his mess. What are you shouting for? Couldn't be me, because if I was going through half what they going through, I'd just sit down and just wouldn't say nothing. Because you can totally detach yourself from the fellowship. And your theology, what you think about God, is based upon what happened to you. And if you're not careful, you'll make what happened to you be like it happened to everybody. And you'll get mad at folk who won't do what you know you're supposed to be. Praise irritates people who want to be quiet. Because you don't see a reason based on your personal trauma. Let me get out of here. Shaped by personal trauma. Then secondly, here's my favorite part. Y'all to hear my favorite part right here. My favorite point of what's wrong with the Thomas theology is because now not only are we shape it by our personal trauma, but then we're skeptical about people's testimonies. We're skeptical. not necessarily about what God said or what God did. It's who told me what God said and what God did. Okay, I thought I was going to talk to some real people. I thought it was some real people. If T.D. Jakes come in here and tell you, stop being skeptical about what God is saying to you in the spirit. If T.D. Jakes were to come in here right now and say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. If T.D. Jakes come in here right now, about 60% of us will fall out. I thought I was talking to real. But because we're so familiar with our pastor and we can't see past the container that we don't get the contents, we are skeptical about, did God even say it? Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Thomas, I get it. Somebody say, we get it. It's not so much about what God's word say. It's not so much about what God is doing. It's who's saying it. Why should I listen to y'all? I thought, oh, see, y'all said behind our back. But here we are face to face, and now y'all want to run. We have an issue with people who got issues telling us about our issues. See, when somebody we don't know about tell us, we okay. But people we familiar with tell us, we don't believe it. Now, I'm gonna say this to you, and y'all may not believe me, and it's okay. But I pray to God concerning what to give you all today. I did that. I do that whenever I stand before God's people. I always make sure I hear from him. Lord, what do you want your people to know? It don't matter what I think of them, my opinion. Lord, what do you want your people to know? That's what I do. I can't talk about anybody else, but I just know what I do when it comes to giving God's word. Now, here's the beauty. Here's the shout. Somebody think I'm throwing off on them because you're guilty or something. I done said already. And instead of just saying, Lord, I hear you. I'm convicted that I need to do better with my faith. You'll now try to find fault with the container. How he gonna tell me something? How she gonna tell me something? And I heard, I saw, I passed by, and I heard, and we saw that. And we have the gall. Somebody say gall. A lot of us have the gall to then talk about who we don't want to hear God from. We got, that's some nerve, you know that? You know, some nerve to tell God who he ought to use to tell us about our walk with him. I got a question. Do we believe God is omnipotent? Do we believe God is omniscient? So that means God know they jacked up before you knew they were jacked up. I'm helping this house, Ben. Y'all saying amen. And you sit here on the sidelines, want to be critical, but when it's time for you to get in the game, you're scared. I don't want to hear her because I heard she got a divorce. How she gonna tell us something and then look at her house? We heard that she got this going on. We heard he be doing all this and that. So how he gonna give? I don't want nobody giving me God's word and they living like that. Because if you ain't living nothing like that, how you gonna come tell me how to live? I'm not finna sit up under nothing like that. Thank you, Lord. Tom will say, why should I listen to y'all? Peter, you denied him 3 times. I ain't listening to you. James and John, y'all always trying to fight. Y'all probably was fighting when it happened. I ain't listening to y'all. See, it's tough to believe when you've been in the dirt with folk. And you can't believe that people done changed because and you bring people back to when, you remember now, come on now, I know, they tell me you call yourself in church now. You call yourself getting saved now. Come on now, I remember we used to all go down. You know, come on now. See, you missed it. You remember when we used to, but you don't know what I do now. Don't get mad at me because I don't move forward and I'm growing and you're trying not to. That does not diminish my testimony because God got me with my jacked up self. He got me in the midst of my issue, in the midst of my sin, in the midst of my struggle, and he delivered me. He healed me. I'm not there anymore. I want to come free somebody who's been trying to help family members, but they so kin to you, they won't listen to you. I want to come help somebody today who's trying to help people that you love to see a better way of living, but because they can remember when you joked, but now they don't want to hear you when you shouting. They was fine with you as long as you was acting a fool and losing your mind and going to jail, but now you done messed around and got some sense, and now they don't want to fool with you. They don't want to talk to you. If when you give the best of your service, telling the world the Savior has come, be not dismayed when men, women, boys and girls will not believe you. He'll understand and say, well done. Hallelujah. Listen, y'all. Listen. What these brothers told him was the truth. It ain't like they lied to him. Thomas, we're telling you, we saw the Lord. We didn't tell you I'm speaking in tongues. We ain't tell you that we're at Holy Ghost headquarters. We ain't telling you we Jesus Jr. We ain't telling you that when God said let there be, we hit the switch. All we're telling you right now is that I'm giving you a personal testimony. I saw the Lord. And that's all you can do to some people is just tell them not what you know, but what I know. If he'll do it for me, I know he'll do it for you. If he'll bring me out, I know he'll bring you out. I saw the Lord. If there are three or four people who don't mind testifying that at some point in your life you've seen the Lord show up and you just want to let some world, somebody know, let the world know, I've seen the Lord. Thank you, Lord. But because of his feelings about his trauma and a testimony, I ain't trying to hear that. In a big city, I guess it's not too bad. Because you don't really know folk like that. You see them in worship, and other than that, you don't even have to see them again to worship. But in small areas like this, we think we know so much about people that can't nobody tell us anything. Unfortunately, well, fortunately, but unfortunately, God uses people. I'm going to try that again. God uses people to help us. I understand now why pastors in one day used to, what they call itinerant pastors. They only show up when it's time to preach and teach. And they didn't live in the city where they pastor. I get it now. I ain't get it then. But I promise you I get it now. Because you have to fill out a resume and questionnaire before you can even help your own people. They want you to be God and they live in their flesh. They try to deify you. They put you on a pedestal you don't have to be put on. Am I right about it? So when you go to a ball game, get them, Tigers! Oh, a preacher? I ain't know you like football. You got tennis shoes? What you think I do, float around on angel wings all day long? Because, see, and some of us living in a box, y'all, And we won't live because people always got something to say. And you know that when they say it, it's going to affect the testimony and affect your witness. That means, church, we have a responsibility to live what we're saying. So that what we are telling people is the truth. But these brothers ain't give Thomas their opinion. They gave him fact. We saw the Lord. Now, while you're giving people testimony, here's a word of wisdom. Remember, they weren't there. So their perspective of it is going to be totally different because they weren't there. You know him. You got to have some patience for people who don't know him like you know him. Well, you should be doing better than that. You know they ain't. Okay. Thomas said, unless I can see, feel, touch, then I'll believe. Now, how many of us, Thomas is still looking for evidence before we'll believe? He got to show up a certain way before you believe. Because you learn by now that the Lord will do it for you, but he don't give you all the details. I believe God has a sense of humor. Because God will use somebody you can't stand. Is there a witness in New Zion today? Okay, see, y'all don't like to tell the truth. You starving. I'm talking about hungry. I'm talking about your stomach done told you, if you don't pull over now. And the joker you can't stand walking around with an extra steak. And then they offer it to you. And some of us, Thomas, is so full of hell. I'm fine. I just ate. Because you can't fathom somebody like that God will use to bless you. God doesn't always use buddies to bless you. Sometimes he'll use burdens to bless you. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence. Then you really get messed up because you got to keep them at the table so that you can eat and then serve them. Lord, that's good teaching right there, y'all. That's good teaching. It's not for the enemies to feed you all the time. Sometimes it's for you to be in a position to feed them. But we know so much about each other. I know all your dirt, but I don't know your deliverance. I know all your mess, but I don't know your ministry. Y'all going up there? Well, I heard they got that going on up there. I don't go up there like I used to. I was just raised there, so I'm going to keep my membership because I was raised there. But I ain't, some of the stuff they got going on, I ain't with that. Oh, I was going to say, because I know you got better sense to be going up there because of all this we done heard going on up there. They tell me such and such run everything. They tell me such and such just think he's something. Tell me such and such, I heard all kind of stuff going on. Y'all ready for me going to get through? I'm going to get through. But we sometimes skeptical about people's testimonies. But now, you being skeptical does not take away it being true. They saw the Lord. You didn't. You may not want to hear them, but it does not take away from what happened. They saw the Lord. No matter what you think about them, they saw the Lord. Well, grace shows up because God is so good that he'll show up again. We'll try that again. That the Lord will show up when you finally decide to come. He's gracious enough to meet you. Okay, now we left the people alone. I'm back on Jesus now. I left them alone. Get past who you don't like and who you know mess about. Let's talk about Jesus again, okay? If you can learn how to get past people and come for the right reason, he'll meet you. He will. Can I prove it to you? This 8 days later, next Sunday. Somebody say next Sunday. Do you notice something, y'all? It ain't been going his way. Can I get in trouble, Lisa? It ain't been going his way. He going through some troubles. He got personal trauma. He don't like people's testimony, but he didn't change his membership. Jesus showed up to an imperfect church. Totally missed it. So you keep wanting everybody to behave before the Lord to show up. Who you think he came to change? Folks who need to be changed. Who you think he came to heal? Folks who are sick. Who you think he came to deliver? People who need to be delivered. He showed up just for that doubter. Eight days later, next Sunday, he shows up. And Thomas, even though he was skeptical and doubter, and a doubter, he still comes and shows up. It don't even matter his reason for showing up, because sometimes people show up to prove you wrong. Y'all will catch that sometime next week. I come because y'all don't want me to. You think you're finna move me out? You think you're finna put me out? I'm gonna show up just to spite you. But you messed around, the Lord shows up, and he changes the whole service. I'm teaching this thing better than y'all saying amen. He shows up. Thomas shows up. 8 days later, Jesus comes the same way and said the same thing. Y'all missed it. He don't have a Thomas service. He have a Jesus service. He's still going to be Jesus no matter what doubters in the room. He gave the same word that he gave the disciples last week. Peace be unto you. Missed it. Because he knows what's really wrong with you. Your problem is not your skepticism. You don't have peace, Thomas. So I'm going to speak a word that's going to meet your situation, because your problem ain't people. Your problem is peace. And you're making your peace problems be about people. You're making it be about everything else. But your real problem is you have no peace. So he speaks a word that pricks his heart. Peace be unto you. You ready? You ready? You ready? You ready? You ready? Thomas. Hear my hand. Thomas, I heard what you said. And for y'all start, they didn't tell Jesus. I got to unpack this real quick. They didn't tell Jesus. Jesus knew what to tell Thomas. But sometimes truth hits you so hard, you got to make it be about somebody must have told them. Have you ever been in a service? You ever heard a word and you felt like the preacher was picking on you? As though they go through all this work and trying to find a sermon just to mess with you? It ain't that they trying to mess with you. You messed up and you done got convicted. And it sounds like ain't nobody else in the room but you and the Lord. Have you ever? I've been there. I'll tell the truth. And I heard some words sometime that's convicted me so bad. It's like I'm the only one in the room. I get nervous. I get fidgety. I want to go to the bathroom. I get hungry. I just want to run because it seemed like the Lord just talking to me. Like a big spotlight all on me. Because you the one said last Sunday. No, during the week you said. During the week, you said, unless I see, I want to see the print. I want to touch that hole in the side. I want to see that. Then I believe. You want to see the evidence of the death, but you don't want to see evidence of life. Watch what Jesus do. He give them both. He said, yeah, I died, but see, this proof that I died, but you don't realize you're talking to me and I'm talking to you. I've got life, Joker. I came and showed up just for you. I died, but I got up just for you. Woo! What do you do with a Jesus who will give you what you want and what you need at the same time? You can't do nothing with that. Thomas, somebody say Thomas. He talking to him. He said, I heard what you told them, boys. I heard that little trash you talked all week long. Unless you see. Hear my hand? Come touch me. Here it is. Thomas looked at him because the word got to him. Thomas, since you doubt me, touch me. I showed up this week just for you, Thomas. I've heard you away from church. I've heard your conduct. I hear your thoughts. I hear your feelings about me away from church. You've been telling them you love me, but away from here, you don't believe in me. So I'm going to show up this week just for you. I heard you. And I had that square-headed preacher tell you the truth concerning you. He don't know your business. I know your business. And I told him to get in your business. Now, if you got a problem, don't take it out on him. Come touch me. Don't bother Peter. Don't bother Bartholomew because they saw me and you didn't. I'm here for myself now. What's up? Now, when you come touch me, don't come touch me not believing. Touch me believing because this is what you need. Y'all know what Thomas did? Ran to him. My Lord and my God. I'm going to try again. Jesus showed up. Thomas the one said, unless I can touch, see, and feel, I won't believe. Jesus says, here I am. Come touch me. Come feel me. You see me. Come do it. But when you come doing it, come believing. Thomas' response is, my Lord and my God. Third time is the charm. Jesus said, Thomas, you said you needed to see me, feel me, and touch me. Here I am for you to see, feel, and touch. Come do what you said you need. You need an extra evidence, I'm here to give it to you. Now, the ball's in your court, Thomas. My Lord and my God, why you want to worship me now? Because your problem was nothing that you needed to get evidence. You just needed to see me for yourself. My Lord and my God, to show that you got the power. Now you come worshiping Christ. But you could have worshiped him when you heard the good news. That's my prayer for us, is that when we hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that we'll come to him without all this extra evidence we'll need. That you'll shout at the beginning like you did at the end. That just because I'm able to be in his presence, I know him showing up lets me know it's already going to be all right. You believe, Thomas, because you see me. But Jesus says, blessed are those who can't see me and still believe. That's where we want to get to. But we got to be delivered. Because lastly, our theology has to be strengthened at the presence of truth. And Jesus shows up as the truth. When the truth shows up, you can't deny it. And it should strengthen your faith and not weaken your faith. Stop. You want to grow in God? Who wants to really be a better disciple in your life right now? I'm talking about for real, for real. You want to be a better Christian. Don't be ashamed to lift your hand in here. If you want to be a better Christian, you got to stop getting mad when the Lord tell you the truth. And say, Lord, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth. Because whom the Lord loves, he chastises. Sometimes he loves you enough to tell you, you can do better than that. Stop getting mad and make it be about everybody. What about you? He's not talking to them. Their Sunday's going to be next week. Today's your day. And you making it be about somebody else does not take away you still low down, dirty, grouchy, mean, hateful, full of hell. It don't take away from that by you trying to point the finger at somebody else.
Come on, deacons. All for Christ to you now. Lord, bless our theology. What we know about you, our faith in you, Lord, will you strengthen our faith that we'll go from being a doubter to a true believer, that we'll never doubt you again. Show up for us, oh God, in our own situation, in your own special way. Show up, God, that we might know it's you. And when you show up, God, may we never doubt you again. In Jesus' name, we offer Christ now. We offer Christ to you. Today's your day. The Lord spoke to you. You've been a doubter. If you don't deal with that doubt, it becomes unbelief. You know what's good? Can I free the house? One more time. When you stand before God, he's not going to bring preachers up to you, churches, church hurt, who didn't like you, who you didn't like. You and I got to give an account to the Lord individually about what we did with the word he gave us. We've all got to individually stand before God. You don't go in the buddy system. You know me, let me in, get me in. No, it don't work like that. You got to stand before God and give an account for your own measure of belief. How much do you believe about God? What's your experience with him? Won't you come today? You want to be saved? Come be saved. Come receive salvation today. He shows up today just for you. He's a living God. He's a living Jesus. He shows up for you. Perhaps you've been a Thomas who just quit. You're skeptical. You're doubting. But today you heard God and you need a prayer of strength that you'll be a believer, a better believer. Come to him today. Let us pray with you and pray for you that you'll stop doubting him so much. Can I tell you the truth? Part of the doubt is not you doubting him. You doubt yourself. You think he done quit you. You think he done gave up on you because you give up on people real easy. That's not the kind of God we serve. He still is there. He's still available. He still awaits. He still wants to be with you. But you've got to give him you and stop doubting his power in your life. If that's you, won't you come? Are you here? Man, woman, boy, or girl, won't you come today? Take that step. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Take that step today. Or the others today. Yes, God is real. For I can feel. Are you here? There are some things. Won't you hear? I may not know. You hear? There are some places I can't go. Are you here? But I am sure of this one thing.